Now, nobody panic if I preach from here. Okay? Nobody panic. It's not the first sign of the apocalypse that the minister is not at the pulpit. I would venture a guess we've all seen a lot of TV. I would also venture a guess that if you watch any kind of TV, you've seen a few advertisements over the length of your lives. Well, one of them that is probably the most poignant, at least for me, is a Nike ad that says, "Just do it." They, of course, are talking about the athlete who wants to swim, and so, well, just do it. Just go swim. Or the runner who wants to run, well, just go and run, or play football, or play baseball, or play basketball. So whatever it is, just do it, Nike says, with a pair of $500 shoes on your feet. But that's another sermon altogether. But the point is this idea, this understanding of our country, that we have the freedom to just do it. And that is exactly what got the Corinthian church in trouble. Because in their mind, they had this idea that everything is permitted. Just go and do it. In fact, that was so popular in Corinth that it got them into a lot of trouble, particularly when the church members went down to the temple of Venus. Now, Venus is the goddess of love, with 1,000 prostitutes on staff. In other words, Venus, the Temple of Venus was the place where sex was for sale. And some of the men in the congregation liked to pay a visit on Friday nights and procure the services of the temple prostitutes. Because after all, they told themselves, well, we are free. Therefore, everything is permitted, or to quote Nike, just go and do it. And apparently they did it a lot. So much so that Paul, their pastor, had to write to them and say, you gotta stop doing it. Because just because you think you can do it doesn't necessarily mean that it's good for you. Well, I couldn't but help but wonder that there is perhaps a lot of sex for sale in our country. Now, there might not be the temple that you can go and visit, but there are certain street corners that you could drive by. If you've ever turned on a television, you realize that half-naked men and women have got nothing to do with perfume or cars, but yet there they are. Just buy it, right? Buy this wonderful perfume. It's got a scantily clad person on it. And then it's called Amour. Buy this truck. It looks sexy. Doesn't matter that there's a woman in a bikini on it. Just buy it. Well, we live in a country, in a world where sex is still for sale, because we all know that sex sells whatever it is that you're trying to get people to buy. Well, just because you can doesn't necessarily mean that you should. Whether it's watch television or buy a magazine, or watch certain TV shows on HBO, certain pay-per-view shows, whatever they are. We live in a world where sex is for sale, and might there be people tempted to indulge in them? Because after all, everything is permitted. We live in a country of great freedoms. Just go and do it. Perhaps Paul's words for them might just still be good for us. Because their slogan was, everything is permitted. And Paul says, well, not everything is good. Not everything is beneficial. They said, everything is permitted. But Paul says, but don't be mastered or dominated or controlled by those things. They were loved as saying, well, food is meant for the stomach, so therefore we should eat, because God is going to destroy them both. And yet Paul reminds them, but yet Jesus was raised in his body, and so too will you be raised in your body. So therefore, it does matter what you do to your bodies. Because your bodies are God's temple, God's house, the place where God put his Holy Spirit is you. Therefore, it matters what you do to it. So when you go down to the village prostitute, you are taking God's temple and joining it to him or to her. But it also matters the food or the drink you put into it. If this is God's temple, it matters what you eat and don't eat, what you drink and don't drink. It matters whether you snort cocaine or stick a needle in your arm. Because it's God's temple. Now, perhaps we don't do drugs, but there is alcohol. Sugar's a drug. How many have a salt shaker on their table? How many drink coffee, Pepsi, Diet Coke? You know, the number one ingredient is caffeine or the nicotine from a cigarette or a cigar. All of those things are things we put into the temple of God. So you see, it matters what we do to this. It matters where we put it. It matters what we do to it. It matters what we do in it. Because what we do to this, we do unto God. Maybe that means Mark's got to lose a few pounds. But putting all of the comedy aside, Paul's whole point is that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it matters what you do unto God's temple. So, what you put into it, what you do to it, matters. But it also matters what you do in it. So that means when you're mean and nasty to someone, what are you doing with the temple of God? You're making God look mean and nasty. When you're critical in your body, what does that make God look like? Well, God is the critical judge with the finger on the lightning bolt. When you're unforgiving in your body, what does that make God look like? If you hate in your body, what does that make God look like? My friends, it matters what we do in our body, because we can either make God look good or we can make God look really, really, really bad. So what happens when people look at the Christians that are going down to the village temple to meet with the village prostitute and then say, well, why should I worship that God if they're going there? Why should I believe in your God if you've got a wonderful case of the mean and nasties? Why should I believe in your God if you rip off people? Why should I worship your God if you live in a palace where I live in a cardboard box? Why should I believe in your God if you act like that? Do you see how easy it is to give God a good name or to give God a bad name? Because we are the temple of God. As if that wasn't bad enough, Paul goes on to say, you aren't your own. Your body has been bought, literally at the slave market. God bought you with the blood of his Son at the price nobody could pay for. And if he says God has bought you, then guess what? God owns you. Really? How un-American is that? God owns this? Wait a minute. 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 We live in a world of the Bill of Rights that says I've got this and this and this, the freedom to do this, the freedom to do this, the freedom to do this. And yet exactly what Paul is saying is God owns you. Well, freedom owned by God. It doesn't take a lawyer to figure out they ain't the same. And yet Paul says, because of the cross, God has bought you. God owns you. God owns this, and your mind, and your heart. And that means God has a say in what you do with it, and what you do in it. Or else, God isn't yours. Now, as I'm sure you can imagine, that offended the Corinthians because they wanted a little fun on Friday night. They wanted to eat what they wanted to eat, and there was nobody going to tell them what they were going to not eat, especially if that's what God says. Now, I can't help but notice that we Americans are exactly the same way. Mark, you're telling me I can't eat pie. Man, that's tough. Mark, you got to do something about the Pepsi. Wait, 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 wait. We live in a world and a country of the sexual revolution. Products of the 60s, right? Are we really going to let God tell us who we can sleep with? And that's exactly what Paul is saying. And that's exactly why Paul ticked the Corinthians off. Because they didn't want to hear it. They wanted to do what they were going to do, and even God Almighty wasn't going to tell them what they do. Well, you know what? Erase Corinthian, put American, and nothing's changed. Because we don't want to yield to God. Wait, 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 wait. Wait. We're going to let God tell us, the greatest country in the world, the rich, the white, the proud, we're going to let God tell us what we can and cannot do? Well, that doesn't sound like freedom. But it is. It's freedom from sin. But it is, in fact, being owned and slaves of God. Being owned by God. Being the temple of God. It means that God can say whatever God wants to say about this. So, my friends, glorify God. But don't just do it with the words you do on Sunday morning for an hour. The amens, the hallelujahs, the hands up, the hands down. It isn't just about that. It means that we glorify God in our bodies with this stuff, with the words that we say, the places we go with our feet, the shoulders we give comfort to, the tears that we cry, the eyes that we look with, the hands that we use. It means that what we do and do not do with this is just as important as the hour we spend in church on Sunday. And it matters. Because this is God's temple. This is God's property. Are we going to let God rule us? Or do we dare shake our fist at God and say, I rule myself? Can you guess which one is faith and which one isn't faith? Which one yields unto God, surrendering themselves to God? God, if this is your will, so be it. Let it be. Can you tell which one is an act of faith? And can you tell which one isn't? My friends, we are called by God to give glory to God. not just with our songs and our prayers, with some idiot in a black robe babbling for 20 minutes on Sunday. It matters what we do in our office on Monday morning. It matters what we do in our bodies at the grocery store. It matters what checks we write. It matters what we do in front of the television with our 3.5 hours that we watch every day. It matters what we do and don't do in our bodies. Because our bodies are temples for God's Spirit. A temple bought and paid for, not with greenbacks, but with deep crimson blood. And if we are bought by the blood of Christ, if we are his temple, then it is high time that we as his people give glory to God in our bodies. And that means we might have to run away from some stuff in this world. But it means most importantly that we have to run to the open and waiting arms of Jesus Christ. And it most importantly means that once we're there, we never seek the arms of another. My friends, this is the church that God creates, the one that God calls, the one that God equips, that we, not this, are the temple of God. So it matters what we do to it. It matters what we do in it. But most importantly, it means you are not your own. You are God's. And so, therefore, it matters what you and you do not do. So, my friends, this is the choice which God lays before us. And please hear us. This is the life God has called us to be. It's high time we, as his people, filled with the Holy Spirit, that we act like temples of God, people who have been bought. And it means, above all else, that we imitate Jesus Christ. So, my friends, you are not your own. You are God's. Let us now actually try to act like it. Amen.